Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
It's a wonderful opportunity today. I've never done this in Kingdom Faith Church in, I don't believe I have, in 20 years. I'm going to share my testimony, how Jesus wonderfully saved me and set me free. But what I want to say is, I was in the story of my life, and then all of a sudden I met his story, and his story changed my life forever. I just want to read a scripture from the Word of God, because it really encapsulates the heart of God's love, what he's done. And just before I share that with you, this is in Colossians 1, verse 19 through down to 22. I'm going to read from the Truth Version here. You see, it was God's good purpose to place the fullness of his life in his Son. Yes. So that through his life, death, and resurrection, everything on earth could be brought back to his will and made one with all that is in heaven. And all this has been made possible through the cross. For through the shedding of his blood, the Son has made peace between God and man. You used to be separated from God. You were enemies because of the ways you thought and believed, which were evil in his sight. But now, through what Christ endured in his physical body, you have been reconciled to God, so that you are now one with him. It is through his death that he has made you holy before God. And it is Christ who one day present you to his Father perfect, free from any accusation the devil could bring against you. Amen. As I share my personal, start of my personal journey, my background really was totally unchurched. So my mum and dad, as far as I know, no one in my immediate family ever knew of God or really had the reality of Jesus living in their lives. So I'm one of those people that had really lovely parents. And you know what? I praise God for that. Yeah. But as I share this story, I want to mention kind of a marker point that when I was, it's not going to be a lot about me today, but mostly about him. But I think the marker point was quite significant. When I was about 6 or 7 years old, I was digging in one of Mum's flower beds, like you do as a 6 or 7 year old. Unbeknown to my mother, I was having a great time. I don't think I was eating worms, but I certainly was digging in the flower bed. I stumbled across a small iron cross. It was quite weighty, which was covered in mud and was very rusty. It wasn't one of those those childhood experiences, you know, like, oh, Mum, you know, that I found buried treasure in the garden and I came in and I showed her. It was something, I can't explain it, but what happened is I cleaned this, I think unbeknown to my mum, completely, I cleaned this rusty cross off. And what happened from that is what I used to do. So just remember that I have there's no recognition or understanding of the power of the cross. There's no reality of what I've, you know, that I've showed at that time. And yet what I did is and I'm going to use a small wooden cross here just to represent this. It's not the same cross. It hasn't grown. But it's almost like each night I would have I would hold this cross under my pillow, and I'd hold on to it, and I didn't know why I was holding on to it, and I don't even know if I prayed at all, but somehow I knew that there was something there. And maybe I think that was the first point in my life when I believed that God was beginning, you know, was awakening something in my life. And we're going to return there, because from that moment, something amazing began to happen. I think that most of my childhood and teenage years have been subtly shaped by a false equation, which the world around me shouted very loudly and clearly through the media and advertising. And here's this false equation. Performance and accomplishments equals significance. Status and recognition equals security. And appearance and admiration equals acceptance. And you think at the moment out there in society is run, the world is run by what we accomplish in the natural, which makes us significant. The status that we have in society equals our security, or our appearance and admiration. The media, you know, even now, you step out this building now, you know, we watch the telly, the advertising, the systems of the world. It's all focused around, you know, a negative equation, a false equation. And I realized, I think, in my teenage years that this had kind of shaped my thinking. I got interested in music, particularly the electric guitar. oh dear, Gary. I have spent so much money on equipment and gear that I have to confess my sin to you as a church. And at some point, it did become a bit of an idol, even in my life as a believer. It's one of those false equations, you know, that sometimes gets thrown up when you material possessions, because what they, you know, if I have something, it's going to make me happy. And then when you suddenly, I can remember, you know, really praying and getting this, asking God, for, you know, even this is when I got saved a bit later on, and you know, God gave me something, and very, very quickly, the blessing, I was thanking God that the provision, but you see, it was hollow. It's just a bit of wood. Sorry, Pete. I know you know what I mean. It's just a bit of wood and a bit of got some strings on it. It can never make me happy. It could never. Now, about this time, there was this false equation going on, and in my head I wanted to be a rock star. Oh dear I've always laughed because me and Pete have never been on the front of the cover of any Kingdom Faith Worship, and you know why. No, it's a joke. No, there's no bitterness or hardship or anything to do with that. You know, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made, but not the prettiest on the planet. I know that. It's okay. It's okay. Now, Rachel does. I know she does, yeah. So what happened in this process, I was in this rock band, we'd gone through from sort of the teenage years and right into sort of our 20s. And one of my mates in the band, something strange happened to him, and it was as though, you know, he changed. He didn't swear anymore. He didn't, you know, there was something about him. But the most thing that I can remember is that when I looked into his eyes, there was light. There was something that was alive, and I began to sort of wonder and ponder. And now what he did was, he was very sneaky. What he did, he invited me to like a men's meal. And typical response from a man, free food and an evening out. Can't be more than that, free food. But he didn't tell me where I was going. He didn't tell me what had happened to his life. And as I arrived in this hall, you know, there was all the tables setting out there, and there was a disco thing set out, and there was lights and there, nothing to actually do with the meeting. I began to panic inside, because inside, I don't know he's a Christian, okay? I don't know that something's happened to him at this point. Inside, I was going, oh my word, he's got me to something dodgy. This is a striptease, you know, and I'm like, you know, and in my heart, I'm panicking. And I'm getting, it's like a cold, you know, when you have those cold sweats, you know, when you know that you want to escape, but you can't. And it's like, all of that was beginning, you know what I mean? And then he turns to me and he says, Gary, I just want to let you know that I've become a Christian. And you can see the relief on my face. You can see, you know, it was just, oh. I didn't say thank God because I didn't know him then. It was always like this, and he said, I brought you to this meeting because there's a speaker here. You know, I've become a Christian. And this man that you're going to hear from, he's had an encounter with Jesus, and I've had that same encounter. And for some of those... I have to say this without being rude. For some of those that are more mature in the room, there was a wonderful, wonderful man called Fred Lemon. And he was an ex-convict. And here was this man who was, I think he was an ex-grocer. I think in his teens, he had basically been, a habitual burglar all of his life. And finally, I think it caught up with him. And what happened is that he was running from the police most of his life, and he ended up, I think, in Dartmoor. And that's where he began to tell this story of literally Jesus walked into his prison cell and changed his life completely. He had an encounter with God. So as Fred began to share how Jesus had literally come into his prison cell, my life began to change from that moment on. And there's a scripture here in 1 Corinthians 1:27, and I think, you know, I've realized the importance of this. It says, "So you can see that God chose those whom the worldly people call foolish to have a wisdom greater than they possess. He chose those whom others call weak to have a greater power than any other human power. He chose those whom the world regards as worthless and useless, of absolutely no account, to show the futility of human wisdom, so that no one will be able to boast before God because of his intellectual ability or human strength." Here is a man that the world had just discarded. And yet this man was carrying the greatest treasure. And the greatest treasure was that he was carrying the message. He had an encounter with God. You know, the world had passed him by. And from that moment, as I look round all at the dinner table and all the people eating the food, I could see this same light sort of piercing me. From what, you know, that there was a light, there was a... And what was I doing? I think I was looking into the eyes of Jesus, into it, because he'd become to live in them. But as Fred went on in this talk, he began to explain what Jesus had done on the cross. And you know, sometimes we need to hear the bad news before we hear the good news. And the thing I want to sort of express to you today is I want to actually take this, but I'm speaking to everybody today for the reality that I needed to hear the bad news. And what was the bad news? In Romans 3:23, it says, "Listen, I have made it clear that every living person, Jew or non-Jew, has sinned and has therefore fallen short of the glory of God intended for mankind." I had to realize myself that I had sinned and that I'd fallen short of the glory of God. In Romans 6, it says, "You have seen for yourself that sin pays wages, eternal death and separation from God. But God's gift to you is eternal life that is yours in Christ Jesus." You see, the wages of my own life, the wages of living independently of God, of falling short of who He is, was eternal separation and eternal darkness. And for me, there was a moment as Fred was declaring and as Fred was speaking, the thing that I realized more than anything was that I needed the mercy of God. For all those years that I've been living in darkness, being separated from Him, living independence from Him, what was actually happening? What happens when you live that life of all of those false equations and we put our trust in the world or the systems of the world? We put our trust in the wrong things. I was on the center of the throne of my life. Everything evolved around me. And that humbling moment in that meeting, I realized that God was giving me an invitation of mercy. I needed mercy because there wasn't anything that I could do to make myself right, because God has done it all for me. There wasn't anything I could, even having a wonderful mum and dad, even having all of, you know, those living a good life. You see, it fell short of the glory of God. The things that I did, I couldn't live my life, doing good things, and somehow that would get me into heaven, because all of those things were kind of filthy before God. I had to understand, and I came to a place. Jesus, I ask your forgiveness. Jesus, I ask your forgiveness for living a life of independence, living a life really of my own effort, the futility of trying to achieve and trying to be a success. And in that place, I had to realize, and this again, it was a realization. What was I? Before I knew Christ, I was actually living in a domain of darkness. You know, there was no light. There was no light. You see, Jesus said, "Unless I be lifted up." And Jesus had to be lifted up. He was lifted up upon a wooden cross. It was now that I fully understood this small cross that I'd held in my hands as a young child. It signified a point in time where there could be a divine exchange. It was the very place that a holy God had dealt with my sin and my rebellion. the punishment that was borne me, the punishment that was due for me, was placed on God's Son. What amazing mercy. Amen. What amazing grace. A holy God had dealt with my sin and my rebellion. The judgment that I was due had been placed on Jesus. Mercy has triumphed over judgment. You see, for me, mercy has a name, and His name is Jesus. Because He is our faithful, merciful High Priest. Mercy has a name for me. What did I need to do? I needed to repent. It's not a word that we hear. It really means to repent of my sin, repent from the direction that I was going, and I completely turn that direction over and now come into the arms of a loving Father. In that moment, a divine exchange took place. In that moment, I was actually crucified with Christ on the very cross. All of my past, all of everything that had shaped me, everything that I was now, I so identified with what He had done on the cross. But I had to repent, and I had to ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, because only by this cross and only by God's Son could I be made whole, could I be made clean on the inside. That blood, I'm making no apologies that, you know, this morning, in a sense, because I think we need to remember the price that God paid. The highest price that He bore our son, our punishment. The punishment that was laid upon Him has brought us peace. For now He is my peace. And you see, in this moment and in this time, I had to thoroughly say to God, God, I needed to forgive people. I needed to ask for forgiveness. I needed to be every area. I was saying to the Lord, really in that moment, I've stopped being the one on the throne of my life. And now, Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender everything. You see, will it cost you everything? Absolutely. But you see, there is a divine exchange that took place in my life. And this divine exchange was that He forgave me all of that sin and that rebellion. He forgave me for all those years living in darkness and living in independence and living to please myself. And in my heart, before God, Jesus, You're the King now. You're the Lord now. Lord, I looked at what cost His Son. I looked at what Jesus actually did. It cost Him everything. And with that blood that flowed from His body and from the wounds on His body, see, the life is in the power of that blood. And with that blood, He was God's perfect sacrifice. He was God's holy, set apart, that he would take the punishment, that he would take it, that there would be this divine exchange. And in those moments, the process of being a child of God. In Ephesians 2, it says, you see, it is only because of his grace that you've been saved. All you did was to put your faith in his willingness to be merciful and gracious towards you. So your salvation is nothing you could possibly have worked out for yourself. It is completely God's gift to you. You can never boast that you've achieved acceptance by God through the works you've performed. I can never boast in myself. Because God was giving to me. His grace is giving everything to those who deserve nothing. And his mercy means he treats his people in a way that is very opposite to what they deserve. You know, we've sung those songs today. They're not just songs without a meaning. They all point to the significant act where Jesus loved, where God the Father loved the world. In a sense, he knew that we couldn't achieve acceptance by trying to live it out in our own strength. There was no one perfect. And he sent his perfect one. He sent his precious son right at a point in history 2,000 years ago as a marker point for all generations that are to come, that it is possible to come into a living relationship with God. See, that marker point changed my life. That marker point. We sang it today. What happened in that process? The chains of the past fell off of me. The chains of rebellion fell off of me. I was made new by God's wonderful mercy and God's wonderful grace. In Romans 3:25, this is so wonderful. God even made his own son the perfect sacrifice that would restore us to the unity with God. Only faith in the power of his blood is needed to cleanse us and make us right with God. Why should it be necessary for God to make his own son a sacrifice? Because he had to demonstrate that he is just. He's holy. God is holy beyond description, any human description. Perfect in love. Perfect in righteousness. God is love. He is a holy God. But he knew he needed to send his son. Because at that moment, the justice of God was met for all eternity. The justice of all our sin, all our rebellion was met in this place. If I read on from there, it says, why should it be necessary for God to make his own son a sacrifice? Because he had to demonstrate that he is just. He could not say that our sin did not matter. Even though until the cross, he had not shown the full judgment of our sins deserved. See, that's the judgment that our sins deserved. What love. What love. What love that you would allow, and that you knew that this was the only way to bring back those, because you want intimacy. You want closeness. But what love. What love. Jesus led that life of complete submission to the Father. He didn't sin. He was the perfect one that was born into the earth by the Holy Spirit, born into a woman. But for not for one moment in his life did he fall short of the glory of God. Not one moment. How great is our God? How great is our God? It is through him that we've been made worthy in God's sight. Through the forgiveness of all our sins. So now we belong to him. Praise God. He's not on the cross anymore. He's not hanging upon a cross anymore. The perfect one was buried. He died. But he rose again. He rose again. He rose again. And almost like blasted a path through everything that's ever happened to mankind. Everything that the enemy could ever throw, he blasted a path through because his life, because you see, this perfect life, what he did was he carried, and this is amazing, he carried this very blood. He carried it right into heaven. Right before the Father. Right before the Father of God. He said on the cross, it is finished. You see, this wonderful blood was now declaring that there is a way. And the way is open for everyone, any person on earth to be saved from this eternal separation. To be born into a new reality. And the reality to become a child of God. And to be made new again. And every day in heaven, even now, he's our faithful high priest. He's interceding. He's praying for us. And that blood is declaring over the whole of humanity and the whole of mankind that mercy has triumphed over judgment. The merciful, faithful high priest obeyed everything that his Father asked him to do. And that's why God the Father exalted him and lifted him to the highest place. That every person in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow their knee to Jesus. Because there's only one King. Because he's King of kings and he's Lord of lords. But there's only one King. And his name is Jesus. And that King that was there in the beginning, that spoke out the stars and created the heavens and the earth, created everything that we see. He's more real than the ground I'm standing on now. That King wants to come and actually touch humanity. Because he wants a relationship so deep and so profound. Amen. I praise God. It's not a little wooden cross, but it is this cross that stands over the whole of history. It's this cross that reminds me. It reminds me day after day after day. If I'm going through difficulty in my life, if I'm going through hardship in my life, there's never a moment when I cannot turn and look towards the power of that cross and say, God, you have loved me. You have loved me. I might not feel it, but I don't choose to put my faith in that. But I put my eyes, I fix my eyes on you. Romans 5 verse 10 says, we used to be enemies, but now we have been reconciled to him through the death of his son. His death has brought about reconciliation. So we are confident that the life he has given us will continue the work of salvation within our lives. You see, when I became a Christian, I was crucified with Christ. He didn't come to stick a massive band-aid over my life. He didn't come to put a plaster over me and cover. He actually, if I use this in a right sense, he came to kill that. I so identified. There's a life I live now. Now that I'm a child of God. You see, before I couldn't be a child of God because I had to come to the understanding. He wouldn't force himself on me. But just by the testimony of an aged greengrocer who the world had thrown away, the world had discarded, the message of his love came through. How great is the love of God that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. It's marvelous mercy. It's marvelous grace. If I just have the band up, guys, you come over here. Hebrews 10:10 says, so by God's divine will, we have already been made holy through the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ's own body. Now we are set apart for God, made totally acceptable and pleasing to him. There may be some today in this room, like me, you've been living with the world's equation. You've been trying to find where is my significance? Where is my security? Where do I find it? It's found in him and him alone. Amen. And today, at the end of this song, it's going to be an invitation, not just for those who don't know God, but to all of us. We're coming into a time here in the church, and what God has been doing in our lives has been building, but you see, our focus needs to be on him. Our focus needs to be on what he has done. He is the creator. He is the victorious one. He is the living one. Let's just stand together, shall we? I want to give an opportunity today. Where you can come and surrender afresh. That means everybody in the body here. I may ask just Pastor Clive at the end just to come up and pray a little bit. But you see, as we gaze upon him, unless he be lifted up, he will draw all men, all men to himself. If any way that you know that you've been on the throne of your life, I want you to actually do something today. Even if it means just coming forward, if it means stepping out of the chair, even if it's just moving forward. Jesus, you be enthroned in my life. That place of fresh surrender. That place of fresh yielding to him. God, not my will, but your will. I want to give an opportunity today just for you to come and just worship him. But make a move. Don't just stay in that place and, oh, wasn't that just good? Or, yes, that was a nice message. No, this is about where we keep our focus. This is about we're coming into a time of incredible breakthrough and releasing. But this morning, I realize there's only one king on the throne and his name is Jesus. There's only one king. There's only one king that's gone into heaven, that's carried that blood on himself, that now stands in heaven as the way. He stands in heaven as the truth. He stands as the life for every single one of us today. Even if it means just coming out of your seat. God, today I choose to surrender. I choose to bring the whole of my life under your lordship today. And as we declare this today, as we sing today, let's sing, let's exalt him for the love. How he demonstrated that love. How he demonstrated that mercy. How great is our God. Let's just begin to praise him and thank him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.